This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule, verified by rigorous independent testing. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/biotics research. That's drhoffman.com/biotics research for Biomega Fish Oil.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for downloading these podcasts. As you know, I weigh in on a weekly basis on topics that matter, topics I am compelled to share with you, to tell you about. And I appreciate your emails. If you have topics of interest or questions that you'd like to hear me discuss or weigh in on this program, the email is radioprogram@aol.com. That is radioprogram@aol.com. Everyone is concerned about the number one killer, which is heart disease, right? Particularly atherosclerosis. And I want to talk to you a little bit about vitamin K. I've talked about vitamin K before, but I don't think it's come enough into the mainstream, and I believe it is underappreciated in its role in the prevention of atherosclerosis, and it's also underappreciated in its role for bone health. Okay? So there is a new study which recently published a Danish population study that examined the link. All right, first it's about vitamin K status and its link to cardiovascular risk. So Clinical Biochemistry recently published a Danish population study that examined the risk between inactive matrix GLA protein. Matrix GLA protein, we're calling this MGP from now on, but they examined the link between inactive MGP, which is a known biomarker for vitamin K status and cardiovascular risk, and concluded that high levels of this inactive protein were positively associated with a history of cardiovascular disease due to the role that vitamin K2 plays in vascular calcification. Matrix GLA, this MGP, right, protein, is a central calcification inhibitor produced by the cells of vascular smooth muscle and regulates the dangerous accumulation of calcium. So it stands to reason that when MGP is inactive, when it is inactive, tells you there's not enough vitamin K there. So a critical benefit of vitamin K2 is it inhibits the accumulation of calcium within blood vessel walls, reducing the likelihood of arterial calcification and stiffening. This is important. So, this high plasma inactive MGP concentrations reflect a low vitamin K status and have been related to vascular calcification, right? So the purpose of this study was to assess plasma levels of this under-decarboxylated inactive MGP and the association between that and cardiovascular risk factors and history of cardiovascular disease in a general population. So, the researchers were encouraged by the findings as they provide another level of evidence that vitamin K2 is an essential cardioprotective nutrient. Specifically, as the researchers note, quote, different studies have found an association between dietary vitamin K intake and cardiovascular diseases, particularly menaquinone. Menaquinone is vitamin K2. Particularly, menaquinone, K2, is associated with a decreased risk of coronary heart disease and all-cause mortality. And the researchers go on to say that it still remains a common misunderstanding that vitamin K in general impacts arterial calcification, when in fact it is vitamin K2 that is available beyond the liver to support bone and cardiovascular health. So what we're talking about, you know, there is a matrix of vitamin K. K1 is kind of what I like to call the wallpaper. You find that in your dark green leafy vegetables, right? And it supports, to some degree, the amount of the other K. K2, and especially in the form of MK7, that is vitamin K2. It is MK7. So whatever vitamin K formulation you're taking, you need to look in the ingredients and make sure that it's not mostly K1. You don't need the K1. You're getting that if you're a big salad eater and a big greens eater, but it's the K2 that helps direct the calcium back to the bones and out of the artery walls, right? So that's what we're talking about. There are other vitamin K dependent proteins in bone, namely osteocalcin and protein S. These help take calcium from blood circulation and bind it to the bone matrix. That's what you want for both reducing any arterial calcification in the setting of heart disease and for increasing bone strength. The mineral binding capacity of osteocalcin requires vitamin K, and the synthesis of osteocalcin by bone-forming cells. Now, this seems a little oxymoronic. The bone-forming cells are called osteoblasts. You would think that a blast is something that would destroy, right? But these bone-forming cells are indeed called osteoblasts. And in addition, this is regulated by our very good friend vitamin D. And you know D is important. And often now you will see in formulations that if you're taking some vitamin D, you should have some vitamin K in there, because they work synergistically. So coming back to this research, the researchers say our studies with MK7 have shown that K-status was more efficiently improved in adults as well as children with supplementation of vitamin K2 as MK7, which is what we do. So these intervention trials showed improved vascular health with just 180 micrograms. And they say our three-year study, cardiovascular study, in healthy postmenopausal women showed improved arterial flexibility, and now our one-year study in men and women showed a significant decrease in this inactive MGP, meaning that the addition of vitamin K made it active and critical to reducing the chance of arterial calcification, of atherosclerosis. That's what we're talking about. So 180 micrograms daily is typically what the doctor is ordering, so to speak, to help reduce arterial calcification and return that calcium to the bones to help keep bones strong. Okay? So this is important information, that matrix GLA protein is dependent on vitamin K. So now I talked about K1 and its dark green leafies, and you're probably thinking, so where else do I get K2 except from a supplement? You get it from meat, and you get it from cheese, and you get it from natto, which is a soybean product, common in Japanese cuisine and other Asian cuisine, natto. And from meat and from cheese. So if you're having a steak and greens, you're getting vitamin K to ensure that you're getting enough. And some other science is noting that 180 micrograms of MK7, which is vitamin K2, we may want to double it. There is some research that's showing that it's more beneficial. But there's more. And coming into bone health now, we just talked about atherosclerosis and the critical importance of vitamin K for that. Let's talk about bones. Calcium supplementation, if you're taking any, and you know, we no longer recommend taking 1,200 milligrams a day. If your primary care is telling you to take that much for your bones, this is old science. It's too much. And certainly, my goodness, if you are, you better be taking some vitamin K to direct that calcium away from your coronary arteries, because that's what vitamin K does, along with vitamin D. In addition, calcium supplementation needs to be balanced with magnesium, or kidney stones may develop. Magnesium keeps calcium dissolved in the blood so that it doesn't form stones. And magnesium and potassium are critical for bone mineral density. These electrolytes, and you know magnesium and potassium are also electrolytes along with calcium and sodium. These electrolytes buffer acids in the body, leaving the calcium in your bones alone. And you've probably heard of Carolyn Dean, medical doctor and naturopathic doctor. She wrote The Magnesium Miracle. It's a wonderful book. Go get it. It's called The Magnesium Miracle by Dr. Carolyn Dean. She says magnesium is just as important as calcium to prevent and treat osteoporosis. We no longer advise anyone to take more than 500, maybe 700 milligrams of calcium a day. 1,200, 1,500, too much. And my goodness, if you're just taking calcium alone and your vitamin D is low and you're not taking vitamin K, this is setting the stage for A, kidney stones, B, atherosclerosis, and C, not enough calcium in your bones. Because it's going to these other places. That additional calcium may also go to your soft tissue, like your breasts, ladies, forming suspicious calcifications. Who wants to get that kind of news on a mammogram? Remember, of the myriad functions magnesium aids in the body, and it's over 300 different biological functions, it also converts vitamin D to its active form, which helps the absorption of calcium in the proper way. I like to say that vitamin D is the bus that brings calcium to the bones. Vitamin K may be the driver of that bus. D may be the bus, but K is a driver too. Or maybe they tag team being drivers. But you know what I'm saying, right? Both vitamins D and K are critical to delivering calcium where it's supposed to go and out of places where it shouldn't go. Like your soft tissue, like your breasts, like your coronary arteries. So all of these micronutrients, these vitamins, these minerals, they work synergistically to maintain bone health. And remember that when it comes to osteoporosis, it is an inflammatory disease. You want to eat a very anti-inflammatory diet. You want to make sure that you're getting critical omega-3 fats and essential fats like omega-3s from fish oil and fish impact bone mineral density by influencing both bone formation and reducing the activity that break bone down. Those are called osteoclasts. Remember, bone forming cells are called osteoblasts. Not that you need this this lesson, right? I just enjoy it. Okay. So, and this is according to some animal studies. So again, we have to be careful how we extrapolate from animals to humans, but all of this does sound quite promising, and it's important. So you're worried about your bone mineral density, right? Especially postmenopausally. There is controversial evidence that you've heard of osteopenia, right? Which kind of precedes osteoporosis. Osteopenia in and of itself is not a medical condition, but that's when people start to worry. And by the way, it's not just women who may be prone to osteoporosis, men too, because they may not be getting enough critical magnesium, vitamin D, and vitamin K. See, I didn't even mention calcium there. I didn't even mention it. And of course, when you're looking to get your vitamin D, the best way to get it is with responsible sun exposure, going out there for 5, 10, maybe 20 minutes, depending on your risk of sunburn. We don't want you to sunburn. We just want you out there at about noon with your arms uncovered, your legs uncovered, maybe your chest, your back, your belly, you know, shorts and a t-shirt, a bathing suit, without any sunblock for the 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes that you're able to expose yourself during that time, not at 10 a.m., not at 3 p.m., because we don't get the UVB rays then. It's the UVB rays that promote vitamin D synthesis, not UVAs. Those are the ones that are the damaging aging rays, the UVAs. But we only get the UVBs between about 11 a.m. and 1 p.m., maybe 1:30. So that sun needs to be straight up. We're talking noontime to get your vitamin D without any sunblock. And when you've gotten enough exposure where your skin is just the tiniest bit pink, your body's making 10,000 to 20,000 IU of vitamin D. Then you can go in and put your sunblock on. Hey, but make sure your sunblock isn't full of carcinogens and gender benders and xenoestrogens and phthalates and cancer-causing things, toxins. You don't want that stuff on your skin. Your skin absorbs all that. The same way it absorbs the aluminum from your antiperspirant. Don't use that stuff. If you want to use safer stuff, well, what kind of sunblock can I use? Go to safecosmetics.org. Take a look there. It rates it by brand, what's high risk, what's low risk. You're going to have to do a little due diligence yourself to find out the best stuff. Go get the organic stuff that you would put on a little baby. That's the stuff you should be using, right? If you're using sunblock. Wear a wide-brim hat. Use zinc oxide. Remember the lifeguard with the white noses? That's zinc right there. That's what we're talking about. So you want to make sure when it comes to heart disease, atherosclerosis, which is still the number one killer of Americans, heart disease. You want to make sure you're getting ample amounts of vitamin K, and that is K2 in the form of MK7. And that you're getting ample amounts of vitamin D. Your vitamin D level should not be below 50. Okay? Your doctor will say, oh, it's above 20, you're okay. We're talking about optimal levels, not levels to keep you from being deficient. You know, borderline. I kind of call that hungry. You didn't eat enough. You're still hungry. Your body's still hungry for more nutrition, right? And so make sure to get these critical nutrients. And by the way, the reason I mentioned sunlight, for vitamin D is it's tough to get from diet. You'll have to eat a pound of salmon every day and you know, a lot of shiitake mushrooms or mushrooms that have been ripened in the sun. That's a tall order. And you're still not getting more than about 2,000 IU there when your skin is creating 10,000 to 20,000 IU just from sun exposure. And you know what? Our bodies are so magnificent. Our bodies know when to stop making any more vitamin D than it needs. There's no such thing as ODing on vitamin D from sunlight. You can if you're taking too much vitamin D in a supplement, so don't do that. And the responsible way to make sure that you're getting the right dose of vitamin D is to have your blood checked. Your vitamin D levels will often be higher after summer just because we're out more and we're exposing our skin more and we're out during the day, right? And it will be lower at the end of winter because we've been indoors and covered up and we're not getting UVB rays in the winter. And especially if you're in the Northeast, the time you're getting UVB rays is between April and October, but not beyond then. So your dose of vitamin D will change. So remember, and especially if you're somebody who if you forget to take your calcium, that you freak out because of your bone health, it's not about the calcium. Make sure you're getting D with K. Make sure you're getting magnesium. These are all critical. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.